Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings. Welcome to another segment of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. This is, of course, a special edition of our regular radio program, which is aired every Saturday night, usually at 10:30 p.m. This is a special edition because this is what we call the day after. The day after the murder of Troy Davis, the day after, which is now a day of awakening. For those who may not have been as awakened as they should have been or needed to be, certainly the type of situation that occurred Wednesday, the 21st of September, was, of course, one to provide definitely some form of insight and, again, what I call awakening into some of the realities of what's going on, what has been going on, what is going on, and unfortunately what will be going on in this place that we call the United States. There's so much that we really want to say and so much we are going to say, but certainly we know that there is a lot of things that have to be done. I mean, needless to say, that's just the bottom line. Before we begin our program tonight, and of course we do pay tribute to Troy Davis and to his family, we definitely send them our best regards, our prayers. I had the opportunity to meet Troy Davis's sister via through telephone. I had her on my show maybe about 3-4 years ago. That is when I learned about this case, this situation, and have been educating and informing others about it ever since. But again, before we go into that, I'm going to always give thanks and praises to our Creator and always feel very honored and very blessed to be in tune and to represent our freedom-fighting ancestors. Yesterday was a very, very difficult day, needless to say. It was difficult for a lot of reasons. It was difficult because it had a lot of ups and downs, and I think to some degree it was unnecessarily so, meaning we knew that the execution was scheduled for 7 o'clock yesterday. We knew that for a few days, and we've been, you know, organizing all over the country. Folks were organizing, rallying, still getting petitions, still educating, still informing, still, you know, inspiring. And it was really we had no idea the impact that Troy Davis's case would end up having. As we hit the street starting on Monday this week, I mean, we were out last week also, and then I'm going to speak about that too, but on Monday, black folks called for a rally, and the first one that we called for, interestingly enough, only a few people came out, and I can't help but to wonder what the hell was that about, and I have to put it just that way, because when white groups called for a rally on Friday, a lot of folk came out. It was at City Hall, and you had a lot of black folks came out. But when black folks called it on Monday, we didn't see hardly any black folks, and just a couple of white folks, by the way. And so that raised a little bit of concern, but then that's silly. And so we're going to be pointing more out about how folks function in Philly, because fortunately, all over the country, black folks came out. I mean, they were strong. We were watching all different segments of throughout the U.S., and it was a beautiful thing to see black folks everywhere. I mean, white folks, too, and other folks, but you know, our concern is always about what our people are doing, and certainly they were indeed out, and not just out, but really feeling. going on, really, you know, interacting with the whole energy, et cetera, et cetera. So the bottom line is folks did, in fact, rise to the occasion. It's, again, unfortunate that more folks didn't rise before last week or the week before, but, again, it is still good to see that some did when they did. But what have we learned from this, family? What have we really begin to understand from this? One thing is for certain, that no matter what we think is going to happen based on this idea of justice, 9 times out of 10 it isn't. Now, before we move on with just highlighting some of the areas of the case or some of the areas of concern about this case, we want to remind everyone that we are going to open up the chat room very shortly so that you can post your comments. We're going to stay on tonight at least for an hour. We've locked in for maybe 2 hours, but we know we're going to stay on for at least 1 hour. But the idea is we want you to vent. We really do. We want you to express what you feel. We want you to say whatever it is that you think about what has happened, because we find that that can be what's known as cathartic, meaning by sometimes expressing what you're feeling about certain things, that allows you to release it, and then it allows us just to move forward a little better. So I want you to feel free tonight to express whatever it is you think about this case, how it was handled, and most certainly about yesterday. Now, I could tell you, it was like a jab in the back, in the throat, really, for some of us, because at 7 o'clock when we were out on the street, kind of gasping, holding our breath, you know, praying, hoping, but not really expecting any different from what was being said, and that being the execution was going to take place. But then, like in a few moments, we started hearing, you know, it's a stay. And all of a sudden, everybody just started just screaming and just jumping. And, I mean, it was really something. And then within a matter of a few moments, we were told that it's not a stay, it's a delay. So we were still, you know, happy about that because that meant he wasn't dead. He wasn't executed at that point. But we had been told maybe 15, 20 minutes prior to that in fact, the first injection of something had already been given to him. And this was roughly around 6:30, 6:35, somewhere around that time, we received the report to saying the first round of injections had been given. And at that point, we were told that this first round was really more of a sedative kind of thing and not the actual, poison, deadly thing. So we still felt hopeful, you know, when that came through. We felt, you know, a little hopeful. And people were, you know, like feeling, yeah, maybe we're going to do this. So this was going on the 7th, so we waited, and then the word came in that it was official because we were still waiting to hear if, in fact, the delay was official because we had gotten some misinformation a few days prior, so we wanted to kind of get a more official update. And, in fact, it was official that the Supreme Court had intervened and there was a delay, not stay, but delay of execution. And it's important that we pay close attention to these words, because those people, play a lot of games. And it's interesting because Sister Pam immediately said, after we heard it was a delay, and even when they said it was a stay, she said, be real careful, don't get too excited yet. Because she said in the situation of Shaka Sankofa, that also was a situation where they, you know, said, It's a stay. And then after a period of time came back and said he was dead. Okay. So while people were thinking they had, you know, that there was a chance, there was hope or whatever, they didn't even waste any time in saying, no, you don't. When they came back, they said he was dead. So, you know, in other words, we were kind of warned that they could pull something. And unfortunately, we became concerned when we began to realize that, wait a minute, he's still there. Meaning they never removed him from what we were told. They never removed him from the area of execution, that he was still either on the gurney or in the actual area for execution. So, again, we were concerned because, you know, if in fact what we were told at some point that the Supreme Court, it would take them to the next day to come up with a decision. So folks began leaving. I guess we left the rally location, which was around what we call the clothespin here in Philly, and also around the City Hall area. We began leaving around there, I guess around 9 at that point or thereabouts. Again, thinking and being told that the Supreme Court would not make a decision that night, that it would be at least several hours. Well, as I got to my destination location, it just so happened that I received a phone call upon entering my destination after leaving the rally. And my brother Darrell, he said to me, you know, brace yourself because they're getting ready to execute him now. And this was maybe 10 minutes or so before 11. So, you know, it was like just really, I can't explain to you that feeling at that point, because here we left with at least some bit of hope, at least thinking that the next day or at least several hours, you know, we still had this hope with us, and only within another hour, you know, we were not only told that the Supreme Court had denied the appeal that it was just sent to them, but that, in fact, they had already begun the next phase of the execution. So we suspect, although I can't confirm it for you, family, but we suspect that Troy Davis literally suffered for 4 hours, from 7 o'clock to 11 o'clock. He was pronounced dead, if what I was told was correct. He was pronounced dead at 11:08. But again, that first round of whatever was administered at around 6:30 or 6:35-ish thereabouts. So to be, if not in physical pain, certainly in mental pain for 4 hours. And so the question that we have tonight, family, really is, you know, what do you think about this? I mean, it's enough to know that our people are routinely locked in these cages, routinely placed in there being innocent, and a lot of times it's known that they're innocent. But because this judicial game is, in fact, a game, well, needless to say, it is something that they play, and they play it well. But the question now has to be, what are we going to do? What are we really going to do? I mean, certainly, it's not a whole lot we really can do, to be honest, but nevertheless, we still have to determine what it is that we now must begin to do. And certainly, we must become more organized. That is definitely for certain, and that's something we surely can do. Now, throughout the course of this dialogue tonight, we're going to talk about several things. One of those things being the report, some of the reports that we received yesterday or last night in regards to last night, one being from one of the people who witnessed the execution, who later came out and said what Troy Davis's last words were. We do know that he, according to the reports, that he did refuse the so-called last dinner or last meal, but there were some words that he said prior to him, you know, putting his head down and gasping, you know, his last breath. So, you know, we want to really look at not only what has happened in terms of this execution and that it happened with all of this evidence of innocence, with there being such a question of not only reasonable doubt, but a true question of doubt all across the board. Why would people like the Pope or Bill Clinton or Jimmy Carter or, you know, all these other so-called name celebrities or whatever, why would they get involved? Why would they speak out? I mean, even though it came later, but still, I mean, why would they do that? You know, they had no reason to do that unless, in fact, they too at least felt something was awry with this case, and certainly it was, and it is. Troy Davis is physically gone, obviously, but certainly his spirit is strong. Let me just say that. For those of you that deal with ancestral concepts and so forth, then I can tell you his spirit is very, very strong, which also kind of indicated to me that, you know, that he is truly at peace at this point, you know, with what has happened, but definitely is demanding justice, okay? And I think it's important that we understand that when things happen, the responsibility becomes something on us as a people, that we have to make certain that those last wishes or those wishes are honored. You see, that's the whole idea. When people do a will, you know, because they want their last wishes honored. And even in this system, a will, if in fact it has been done, you know, in a way that, you know, where it's not so ambiguous or whatever, it's upheld. Your last will, your last testimony, or your last wishes or whatever, if it's feasible, that's upheld pretty highly, even in these people's world. So certainly it should be something that we should be upholding for our people. So from what I was told, one of Troy Davis's last wishes was that we continue to fight for justice and that we continue to find out what happened and make sure that it's known and understood that he was innocent. So I think that's incumbent upon all of us. You know, Troy Davis is an example today. However, that same example represents our people from times of antiquity to present day. Troy Davis is the present day reality. But again, that same voice, that same reality is represented in our ancestors. They too, to this day, cry out and demand for justice. And it is our responsibility to make certain that we bring that justice forward. So again, family, this program tonight is for you. It is, of course, for Troy Davis and his family. It is also for our ancestors. And with that, it is for us to bring forward our thoughts, our ideas, our concerns, our outrage even, our anger, our frustration, our sadness, whatever you care to share or convey is all good because it's all needed, it's all necessary, it's all real. This is a situation that hurts deeply. But from it, I think much growth and development is going to occur, has already occurred. And so while for some it might have been just, you know, something for the moment or whatever, for others it meant something. It represents something. And with that, we will continue to carry this situation with us as we proceed in the further work and activities and strategies and so forth in regards to justice. Needless to say, again, as I started off with the show tonight, it is pretty clear we are not going to get any kind of justice in this country. I mean, it's just not realistic. And I know, you know, Dr. King had a dream and some other people, you know, had some thoughts about it. And I'm not going to say that maybe someday, you know, another 1,000 years or something, I'm not going to say it might not happen, but I am pretty convinced that it will not be happening. Not only no time soon, but like I said, maybe in about 1,000 years or something like that. So what that means is we really need to act like we know. We really need to begin to do the type of things, the type of work that is now necessary, has been necessary actually, but certainly with this murder right in our faces, with 1 million signatures being delivered, and if they said 1 million, then probably it was more, with 7 out of 9 people recanting their stories, and one of the two that didn't may in fact have been the actual shooter, so it makes sense for him not to recant his story if in fact that's true. It was also said that up to the very end, of course, Troy's alibi or where he was at that time always was, it stayed the same. That never changed. This is just a travesty, to say the least. I mean, I can't even find the words, and I'm pretty good at words, but I can't even find the words to begin to express what it is that has been presented or shown to us last night at 11:08 on September 21st. We witnessed and saw something that most will not forget, those who was watching it or listening to it. We won't forget it, and we won't forget the people all over the country who came together. But what we also won't forget is where we're at and what's really going on. So what we're going to do is, for those of you who may want to say something tonight or share your feelings or whatever, make sure you push 1 so that I will know that you want to speak. I invite you to do so. This is an open forum tonight, an open mic night. Each and every one of you are the guests, for lack of a better word, but certainly I want you to be able to, you know, share your views, to let us know what you think about what happened, and also what you think we as a people need to be doing or can do in the future. How should we begin to address these kinds of matters? And certainly we have political prisoners who are still incarcerated. What do we now do to further our work, our efforts in getting them freed? Obviously, we must do more. Obviously, we're not doing all that we can. And with that said, you know, one of the questions that I certainly plan to bring forward in my travels now, and that is, what does it mean to be an activist, especially a black activist or an African activist? What does that entail? What are we supposed to be doing? Because what I realized as this case began to become like a little bigger or more well-known, I was talking with people who are activists or who say that they're activists. And yet, when I asked them about this case, they didn't know anything about it. And I found that to be a bit strange, because I was always taught in being an activist, whether it be a community activist or a human rights activist or whatever you want to call it, but dealing in any kind of social, political justice realm or what have you, I was generally under the impression that that entailed you knowing about some of the, you know, key or major things that were going on, especially as it pertained to black folks. Now, while this case wasn't like, you know, headline, certainly it was being matriculated throughout the social justice arena. Again, I began hearing about this case like 5 years ago and continued to send out information whenever there was a new development and then just in general, as I did and still do with Reggie Clemens and so forth. So the question has to be for those of us who say that we are about certain kinds of things, we have to begin to ask, well, what does that mean? What does that entail? What does that require? It seems we got to get back to basics in terms of the training or the ability of what it is we should be doing or be capable of doing. Okay, so again, I'm putting that out there to you, family, so that you can give me some feedback. I want to know, what do you think about what we should be doing? And again, I'm not talking about the masses right now. I'm talking about folk who have done reading of books, you know, a lot of different books about black history or contemporary history or also, you know, those who go to lectures and, you know, look at a lot of DVDs or things of that nature. I really would like to know from you, what do you feel we should be doing, those of us who are, in fact, the activists or the whatever you care to call it, okay? So this is what a question I want to raise to us tonight as we talk about this issue with Troy Davis. So, again, I want you to press number one so that we can begin to go to some open mics, and I want to hear what it is that you want to share with us. Hopefully you have a comment or a question or not a question. I'm not really trying to engage into any questions tonight. But if you have a comment or a suggestion or an opinion about anything, please push one, okay? We are, of course, at area code 646-652-2232, 646-652-2232. That's for those who may be online. And for those who are already tuning in, perhaps you, again, will push one. And I'm looking to see, there are people listening, but I don't see that you are attempting to, oh, here we go. Okay, there we are. I've got some folks now. All right, we're going to go to your caller. You're at 4460. Okay, we're going to open the mic up for you. And, again, we want you to share your views and your thoughts about what's going on, okay? Caller 4460, peace to you tonight.
Peace, if it's all of everything.
Oh, greetings, sister. Greetings. Good to hear you. How you doing tonight?
Good to hear you. Always on the move. You know how we always do. You know,
Sad. So, sister, tell me what you're thinking, what you're feeling tonight.
Well, it's just a sad day just to hear the injustice that happened to our brother Troy. And it's even sad to know the fact that, you know, we had our own people who testified against him and then later on recanted his story. And it's just sad just knowing all of that. And, you know, wow. You know, something definitely needs to be done about folks who by any means work in the interest of depression, white domination and working in the interest of this criminal system all the way around, you know. I mean, my whole feelings against that is that, you know, progressive people, people who was covering the story or actually keeping up with the story, you know, we need to strategize on how we need to begin to deal with our own people selling us out, being traitors to our race by all means. So, you know, my condolences go to his family and also people who are in the same situation that our brother faced, you know. Something needs to be done. I just hope that, you know, as a lesson learned, you know, from folks who are really serious about, you know, this prison industrial complex and the injustice that we face while being incarcerated, because I know all too well how it is to be targeted, you know, and defamed and, you know, and neutralized, and also, you know, stories being fabricated on. It's just sad, you know. It's just a sad situation. And, you know, people just need to be dealt with. It's just so much that we need to actually talk about, you know, addressing this issue. But I'm quite sure building with you, you know, we would begin to, you know, strategize on, you know, where do we go from here. So I'm just waiting here, you know, where I can get in and sit in with somebody who's really curious about, you know, dealing with this issue.
Mm-hmm. I'm having a little hard time hearing you, sister, but I got most of that.
I've been trying. My phone has been out of whack for a while. The battery haven't been charging. My audio system is bad. So, and this is a new phone, so, you know.
I got most of it, but let me just say this, because what I decided, not just as of yesterday or last night, but this kind of been coming for a while, so this just really made it clearer, I guess, and it's this. We know that, what's his name, Clarence Thomas. Whew, I mean, just saying the name for some reason just hurts me so much. Clarence Thomas, Uncle Thomas Clarence, anyway. You know, I'm going to say this, and I don't have any qualms in saying it, sister and family that are listening. For those of you who believe in our ancestral tradition, I am strongly suggesting, and I don't care who doesn't like it, because this is, to me, the way this thing has to go, because this idea of white supremacy, or what I call global attempted white domination, is an application of some kind of thing. And what I mean by that is we are not applying in our traditional magic or energies or whatever you want to call it. And so white supremacy or attempted white global domination is their application of their magic and energies, for lack of better words. So what I'm suggesting, sister, and again, folks need to do this in whatever way possible or whatever way they think they should. And, you know, I can't tell you how at this point in time, but I know that within our own beings, we can figure that out. The bottom line is folks need to really start dealing with some other kind of science. And I'm talking about the traditional African magic, whatever you want to call it. For some, it's voodoo. For some, it's whatever you call it. I don't care, okay? When you have people like a Clarence Thomas, they need some examples need to be made, okay? And certainly our history has shown that there have been times that things have been done and things have happened. So now when are we going to begin to reactivate that kind of energy and that kind of reality? And I think that because these people, these whatever they are, all right, I'm going to tell you, I'm very reluctant to call them people or some other, you know, kinds of kind words or things at this point in time. So the reality is, how are we going to continue to deal with them? Obviously, the way we have is not working. It's not working. That's obvious. So it seems we need to begin entertaining or engaging in some other kinds of things. And I am certainly suggesting it for those who can. And for those who can't, you need to be supporting those who can.
And do
you get my gist?
It's funny that you actually raised that issue, because I just told someone, I said that, you know, the things that's going on in this day and time is outdated, dysfunctional, and we need a whole nother paradigm shift on how we deal with certain things in this day and time. I just said the same thing, and you're saying it in a different way than I am. But, it is what it is. And I told someone that was supposed to be, you know, function in a whole nother different way, and I'll talk to you later about it. I don't want to actually put it on air, but I'll speak to you about
it. Well, that's okay. All right, my sister, will you hold that point? I'm going to bring someone else in and see what their thoughts or ideas or whatever. Just share whatever you'd like. Caller, you're at 9595, so we're going to bring you in, and let's see what your comment or thought is. 9595, go.
Greetings, Empress. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes. Greetings, my brother. How are you tonight?
I'm okay.
No, that's right.
I think first and foremost, when we want to deal with this this whole thing of activism, what you have to understand is the derivative of that word is active. You know what I mean? And active implies doing something, taking action. When you study the, when you study the Medu Metal and you start getting into Mo'at, you realize that Mo'at or balance and justice is in everything that you do. If you want to call yourself an activist or a revolutionary warrior, whatever your thing is, it has to be something that you live 24/7. What people have to understand is this so-called activism or revolutionary, whatever you want to call it, ain't nothing to be messed around with. It's a 24/7 sacrifice and a 24/7 struggle. And some people aren't ready to make that sacrifice.
Right.
Being an activist or revolutionary, whatever you want to call it, means that you take attacks from both sides. That means that you take attacks from these creatures that we're dealing with, or whatever you want to call it, and that means that you get spat on by the very same people that you're trying to help, just like that movie, The Matrix. But it doesn't matter, because you know that you have an allegiance to something that is higher. And we need to stop. We need to stop messing around. We have to understand that this activism or this revolutionaryism, just like Mo'at, is in everything. That means that you eat revolutionary. You put the things in your body that's going to facilitate yourself better. That means you read the things, and some people need to understand that reading is just one aspect of it. Reading, that's cool, but you got to get beyond that. So, yes, you read the things that you need to get your cognitions right. As you were talking, Empress, we got to get back to the proper spirituality. That means even your spirituality is about liberation. The problem that we have is some people don't even know truly what liberation is, what it is to be free, because we've been in this oppressive system for so long that we've never even seen anything remotely like it. That means every day that you get up, you're talking or you're discussing liberation. That means the music that you listen to is liberation. That means when your head hits the pillow and you're in the dream realm, you dream of liberation and you conversing with the ancestors about what you're going to do to bring peace to the Ma'afa. This is not nothing to mess around with. And some people are not ready. I say majority of the people are not ready to make that sacrifice because, let's be honest, it hurts. It hurts.
That's right.
But you do it because you know you have an allegiance to something higher. This is nothing to mess around with, and some people are just half-stepping too much. And that's really what it is. It's like Brother Cyrus Sutton said, he said, and he was right. You know, you got your little bit of Xbox, or you got your comfortable job, or whatever it is, and you don't want to lose that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you'll talk a little bit of something on the weekend or something like that, but when it comes down to actual action, there is none. Like Kwame Ture said, there's a difference between mobilization and organization. But like he said, some people don't even mobilize. You know what I mean? We have to stop messing around and figure out where we lie on this spectrum. As something I like to say in my own head is cadres have no limits, okay? We got to break every limit that's in this box, whether that be your spirituality, whether that's getting that white Jesus up out of your head, whether that's getting that poisonous processed foods and the meats out of your system, whether that means sacrificing on, like, look at me, I love listening to some of this rap music, you know what I mean? They got the beat right and everything like that, but the message that's in it is all wrong. And I started noticing something, you know, sometimes you wake up, you can hear certain lyrics. And some of this stuff goes from 7 years back, so you know that's poisonous. That means, see, we become conditioned to liking things that are not good for us. And you have to put that time and that effort in there to breaking that. People who study the Muay arts, I don't call them martial arts, people that study fighting styles, they sacrifice every day for that. People that are going on to get an education, they sacrifice every day for that. These athletes, what do you call them, sacrifice every day for that. But we got to be ready to do that. We got to stop messing around. And we need to get away from this whole savior complex, too. Because I feel like in this whole thing, see, the way I feel about it, we get immobilized because we looking for a leader too much. What you have to understand is you are that leader. This thing is not just going to come from one person. This is a collective effort because same things happen that have been happening since God knows when. We sit here in these discussion groups and we talk, and then we get to the phase of, all right, well, what do? And everybody gets immobilized. I can't tell you what to do. You got to figure out what to do. This beast is big enough with it. There's enough to go around for everybody, especially some of these so-called intellectuals that don't do nothing but read books, done read every book under the sun. Everybody has an opinion about this thing. And so instead of fighting over it, because let's be honest, a lot of us, we sit around and all we want to do is argue these points, which I find is insanity. We want to argue over who got screwed over, the worst spot of thing, or all this other stuff. Forget that. I mean, even if you want to take it to Neely Fuller talking about being dominated in all areas of people activity, pick one, because this thing is huge right now. You know what I mean? Can't nobody tell you what to do. You got your opinion. You got your own knowledge. Formulate your plan and work it. Do something. Nobody cares if you're unsuccessful by whoever's definition. You got to get out here and try. You got to try to bang on that beast. You got to do something. It's almost like a fight. You get more respect for fighting somebody and maybe getting a black eye than sitting there letting them wail on you. We got to stop. That's all I can say. We got to stop with this BS and really make them sacrifices. We need to start honoring and venerating the ancestors every day, reaching for that spirituality, sit there, do the things we got to do, cut these TVs off, cut this music off, cut this poisonous food off, cut out everything. Cadres cannot have any limits. You got to go any distance to make sure that your people get what they need to survive because things are getting crazy right now, and they're going to continue to get crazy. As the economic climate changes, as the genocidal campaigns continue, as these oil spills, like the oil that's been spilling in Nigeria for like 75 years now, as these oil spills continue, things are going to get worse. And believe me, the enemy knows that. This is why they stockpile guns. This is why they stockpile ammunition. This is why they take their youth camping and survival training and all this other stuff. That's why they put their youth into the military to get that survival training, because they know what the deal is. And we need to stop messing around, because while we sitting here reading these books and this thing go down and we starving, We have all the books in the world, the largest. We have some great libraries in our basement, but we starving. And some of these cats out here that ain't got a sixth grade education are gonna be surviving. We just need to stop with the bull, because this is getting ridiculous, and it's just gonna keep on going. Let's make some sacrifices. Okay. It's like you said, we got to draw a line in the sand. Really, ain't no more this hash stepping and no more this. Well, we're all black, we love everybody type thing. Like, no, if you're an activist or you're a revolutionary, we're gonna hold you to that definition. If you're not, get the F out the way, and that's all it is to it.
Sister Manera, you still there? You got any comments?
Wow. Oh, wow. Strong words, brother. That's all I got to say.
That's right.
Sort of like on the same page, I can relate to everything you say. You know? It's serious.
So let me ask this question, and, you know, certainly this is what we've talked about so far, because even though, you know, we want to air this all out, and Brother Evan, thank you so much, because you just, as Sister Manera just said, you just really, I'm sure, provided some of the ideas or views or sentiments of what a lot of folk are saying and thinking. I've been remiss. We're going to open up the chat room in about 5 minutes, so bear with me. But, again, want folks to think about what I said a few moments ago about employing or tapping into, as we would say, some of the energy and the spirits of our people. See, again, we got to start talking about what are we going to do? Certainly there are many things that can be proposed, but we've got to start with something. And one of the things that I'm proposing tonight, which I just said, is to begin getting with some of our priests, priestesses, mambos, whatever names they have, but they are the spiritual counselors, the spiritual holders, or whatever, you know, again, whatever we want to call it. Should we begin collectively to begin to meet with them, to begin to develop certain strategies with them, to begin to find out from them what things can we begin to do to provide greater protection, to provide, shall we say, greater self-defense mechanisms, and things of that nature? Because what we're seeing placed upon us is not just the physical. It is certainly some spiritual stuff that's being thrown at us, that's being shackled on us, that's being stepped on us. So now, how are we going to respond? We have been talking. We have even been praying. We have even been thinking, we've been doing a lot of things, but the one thing that I do feel we haven't done to the degree that we need to, that is some of our spiritual realities. So I want to know more about what folks think about that. I'm going to open up the chat room so that we can begin to comment more on that. And we're going to do some future shows to really begin to formulate how we can go about in doing some of that for those who are interested. And again, to make it very clear what I'm suggesting, and not just what I'm suggesting, what I'm saying. I'm saying an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And I mean beyond even that. But since we know that the tangible is extremely difficult, in that we're in a world where these people will lock you up, throw away the key, and execute you, because that's the level of their playing field. But we've got to now ask, can they beat us spiritually? And is the spiritual thing just about, I'm going to love you to death? I don't believe so. I don't believe that in the spirit of Hesed Put, in the spirit of Hannibal,
in the spirit of Shaka Zulu, in the spirit of Shekmet, and in the spirit of Ma'at. I don't believe it's just about loving your enemies. What do you all think? Brother Evan, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. I agree completely with that. Certain things don't make sense. Loving the enemy don't make sense to me. That sounds like an oxymoron. Those are two things that are diametrically opposed. Love the enemy. Love the person that's been raping you, not just raping our women, raping our children, raping the men. That's what the prisons are. They don't just lock you away and throw away the key. You're getting raped while you're in there. Do things like that. Steal your continence, poison you with everything. They got everything from chemical castration to lynches, things that we couldn't even think about. Now they're talking about NASA space stuff coming out the sky, and I mean, it's like Murphy's. Anything that could go wrong, they're doing. So ain't no love to enemy. I'm just like, come on, family. We got to get something physical here. We got to get some land. We got to get some food. We got to get some institutions and some structures going. I'm not really with no loving the enemy type thing. That's kind of insane to me. That's counter to survival. You know what I mean? I go to school for psychotherapy and counseling. That means dealing with people that have mental disorders or dealing with people that have maladaptive thoughts. And I can tell you right there that loving the enemy is a maladaptive thought. It's illogical. It makes no sense. As a therapist, one of the things we look for are reoccurring patterns of behavior. If every time you go out there and you get drunk and you go do something crazy and you get fired from your job and that done happened 5 times now, well, maybe you should stop drinking. Now, we've been trying to love these people for about 3,500 years, and excuse me, 35,000 years. I apologize. 35,000 years. And they keep doing the same thing. Ever since they came out the cave, when we go back to ancient Kemet and we deal with the Hyksos, you know what I mean? And we show them a little something, and what they try to do. They try to take over all the Kemet. Then we had to go through 500 years and then kick them out and take over. And then we go cool again. Then we go up and we find them again. And, you know, we keep doing the same pattern. It does not work. We try logic. We try reason. We try love. We done everything from marches and rallies and sharing music and just all the things that are naturally part of us, spreading the djembe music around the world and everything like that. It's not working. They do not care. And that's just not that. That's the whole entire planet. You know what I mean? Elder Gossett down at the UNIA, Division 121, has a saying that I really have taken a liking to, and that is, it's not yours if you can't protect it. I could have $20 in my pocket right now, but if somebody can come up and punch me in my face and take it, well, then it's not really mine, is it?
I know that's right.
If somebody can come into your house and take your woman or take your child, then, they're not really yours, are they? And that's why I give a lot of honor to that sister. I wish I remembered all the details on her that fought them cops that was trying to take her children and won.
That's right.
So it ain't really yours if you can't protect it. If these people can come and put you in a jail, shoot, do executions on the street anytime they want, can be down there in Jackson, Mississippi, and run you over with a truck, can sit there and lethally inject you whenever they want, take your life whenever they want, then, I guess it's not really yours, is it? So we need, this whole loving the enemy thing, I say, maybe there'll be somebody else that can ponder that. I'm not one of them. I'm like, let's get ourselves at least established, then somebody can go deal with it. I'm not the one. I personally don't believe in it. But if somebody else wants to mess around with the idea, let them go on ahead. But first and foremost, see, the thing about it is, you have, in order to sit at the table of humanity, you got to have a chair. And we as a people, we don't even have a chair. We want to deal with all these other things. We want to put a steak dinner on the table. We want to do all this other stuff, and we ain't got nowhere to sit. We really need to cut some of this BS out and really see a lot of that comes from And we gotta look at this beast in the face. But see, that's the hard thing, because it is a vicious thing. But we gotta look at this thing in the face, because that's the only way we will get in it. And I feel like the first thing that we have to realize, the first thing that you see when you look at this beast, is that we're dealing with cowardice. And that goes for everybody. I'm not just talking hypothetically, myself included. You know what I mean? Some days I gotta wake up and I gotta decide, do I want to be a black man today? You know what I mean? Do I want to be an African man today? Do I want to go out here and do what it takes to bring a 10 to the ma'afa, to bring ending to the ma'afa, to bring balance to the ma'afa, to bring glory to the ancestors? Do I want to be a black man today? Or you know, what am I going to do? Am I going to cop out today? What's it? Anytime if you see, you know what I mean, say something disrespectful to a sister, am I going to be a black man today? Or am I going to cop out? That's a 24/7 thing. And the first thing we gotta deal with is that we're afraid. And you know what? That's okay. Because if you can admit that you're afraid, then you can deal with it. Because we have so much stuff going on the streets, these gang violence, these killings, these beasts sitting around with dish tracks and talking stuff about people all the time. It's because we're afraid. We don't
The reality is, and just so if I may add, you know, fear is really somewhat of a natural kind of sense or reaction or what have you. It's part of the makeup of our beings to some extent. It's when it becomes not only excessive, but when it becomes crippling, and when we are not able to respond. See, even though you might fear something, that still don't mean that you're not supposed to deal with it or try to, you know, respond to it in a certain kind of way. And I think that's what has happened with us as a people. You know, we have this fear, but with that, we just, rather than move on it or deal with it or try to lessen it or try to get rid of it, we just accept it. And all of those things are truly destructive. So this is where we're at, family. As you hear, we're having this dialogue. Of course, we're talking about the situation that happened with Troy Davis last night. We're also talking about what's happening on a day-to-day basis with us as a people. The case and the situation of Troy Davis surely pointed it out just right in our faces. I mean, we already know, we know, but we're now able to literally see it again. Remember, again, a few years ago, we saw the execution of Tookie. Okay, Brother Tookie. Certainly, there has been Shaka Sankofa, for those who do not know. Also on death row is Reggie Clemens. For those who are not familiar with that name, you need to become familiar with that name, because there's another case where some white girls were involved. And this is like in St. Louis, there in Missouri. We've talked about that case over the years, and I'm sure that case will be coming before us as well. So what we started out with, to just kind of recap, is, and Brother Evan has expounded, you know, quite well, needless to say, Sister Manira as well. But we're talking about, as we look at these cases and we look at the situation, and we want to remind you again, and I want you to give some feedback. For those of you who want to get on the mic, please push number one, and I will patch you in a few moments. I've been trying to access our chat room for some reason. I'm not able to get it up for you, so hopefully we will be able to do it shortly. Okay, it just looked like it just popped up, so we might be able to get it in a few minutes. But at any rate, again, the one thing, or one of the things that we want to point out about this situation with Brother Troy Davis is the fact that for 4 hours, he more than likely really went through something that was just horrendous. And what we're talking about is the fact that the first thing that he was administered came about roughly 6:30, 6:40-ish. That means that the process had begun at that point. Then, at just a few minutes before 7, we were told then that there was a delay, or really we were told that there was a stay, and it was, in fact, a delay. So for 3 hours more, he was, from what we were told, still laying on the gurney and still wondering what was happening and so forth and so on. This has got to be cruel and inhumane punishment, which is a phrase that is used in all of the human rights kinds of documents. So now the question to all of us has to be, you know, if there's an issue of human rights that is being discussed in this country, what does that mean? Where is that applied? How is that applied? And again, just to regress for one moment, as we think about that, let me just go, it's not a regression, but let me just go back to the point of what we're going to do. Let's also keep that in context. And again, what we've talked about so far is beginning to meet or get with some of our more spiritual, religious, whatever you want to call it, but I'm not talking about the clapping rat folk. I'm talking about those traditional applications of things. Now, for those who are a little scary or afraid of that, what can I say? Except we have to now talk about this. We now have to examine it. We now have to look at some options here because all this other stuff is not working. Our people are not only dying, our people are now being set up further for more disaster, more devastation. And the thing that I'm very, very concerned about is the fact that our women are really at the top of the list. Now, over the years, we've always talked about and heard about our brothers, and we should have, because certainly our men have always been the top target of the beast. But I really hate to inform you all that now so are our sisters, because they really want our children. They've always wanted the children. But as we all know, the mother, the black woman, has really been the primary element in preventing the system from getting as greater control as they want it. But now they've weakened the black woman to the point that now the children are becoming more and more and more vulnerable. And the example of that is back when crack cocaine hit. Never in contemporary time did you see a black woman selling her child, no matter how low or how far she had fallen or what she didn't have. You've never seen that before the 1980s. So obviously the black woman is now being weakened to a degree that was never before happening, which now makes the children more vulnerable. We're going to go to caller at 7060. Like to hear your comment or your thoughts on our dialogue for tonight. Go.
Oh, how you doing? My name is Jamal Taylor. Can you hear me?
I sure can, Brother Jamal. How are you tonight?
I'm good. I'm blessed. I mean, to be on this radio station. Brother Bourne advised me that y'all was having this radio station. What's your name again?
My name is Empress.
Okay, well, I believe exactly what y'all are saying, and I believe it's basically the mindset. And the mindset that right now is people have become content with being the inferiority race. And at this point right now, like how y'all are saying, it's time to move. And as you're building on basically spiritually, that's right. But right now, like I was just building with some brothers in the park today because I had seen on TV this morning what had happened. And it brought tears in my eyes because at the point when, like, me and Brother Bourne, when we had met, I had showed him the fight that I had with the system, even though I was victorious on the strength that I have knowledge of the legal system, and I had to defend myself through three trials. But my point of saying is this. We need a coalition, like how mm-hmm. y'all sitting here building, and like mm-hmm. that brother put me on this. We need more strength all together to come as one. The ones that are fearful, we have no room for them. I mean,
right.
if they're scared, just stay away, back right. up, you know what I mean, if you were Uncle Tom, or even if you were a white or a Jew or a Puerto Rican, if you want to help this movement of the attack of the so-called inferior race, mm-hmm. help us, but if you don't want to help us, move out. Because at this point
right
now, it's time to step up. It's time for our children to realize that they are somebody. Because at one point, we was taught that we were nobody. We was treated as dogs, as pigs, as horses. Mm-hmm. And at this point right now, there is some brothers that don't even know the mindset is still at that degree.
Mm-hmm.
So I said that to say this, is that the ones like yourself and the brother that we're just building and the brother that just put me on, if we have mm-hmm. more of us, that can come together, if it's just five of us, then we can start with getting five more, that's 10. Then five more, that's 15. We just have to show that there's a unification between a stolen race, a stolen people. And at this point right now, I just appreciate that I even had this opportunity to be even a builder. I don't want to go too far into it, but I just said that, you know, I'm going to always tune in. Because at this point right now, I'm establishing an organization called Universal Brotherhood Supreme Defense Committee.
Right.
It's a legal organization that
mm-hmm.
will help people who doesn't know the legal process, doesn't
okay.
know their legal rights, and that if they have an attorney that doesn't have a backbone, they contact us, we step in. And we make sure that their legal rights will be handled properly.
All right. Brother, I love what you just said, and I invite you to come on at another time to really elaborate further specifically about what you're doing. And let me also invite you to a session. It's called For Brothers Only. And this session will take place October the 14th and the 15th. This particular
mm-hmm.
session is really geared to brothers, black men, Aboriginal
mm-hmm.
men, Nubian men, whichever particular title you want, Kemetic men, but the idea is they're melanated, okay? So
mm-hmm.
the concept here for this particular session is for the protection and defense of our women and girls, meaning these brothers
mm-hmm.
are going to candidly discuss the causes and effects and solution of violence and abuse upon that's being lodged upon our women and girls.
Yeah.
For those men who see this as being a problem and see this as something that they have to now deal with, those
mm-hmm.
are the brothers that will be coming together on the 14th and the 15th of October. And
where is it at now?
And the man. Excuse me?
I said, where is it going to be at?
This will be in Philly. And Brother Bourne,
okay.
he's going to be, as a matter of fact, we were supposed to do a conference call this week, and I had to just, when we got word that the execution date was set, then we had to kind
mm-hmm.
of postpone everything that was on the table at that point and go into full
mm-hmm.
force with dealing with Brother Troy's situation. So on
mm-hmm.
Wednesday, on Sunday, we're going to do the conference call. But Brother Bourne will keep you abreast. And I also now have your number. I'm going to get later your email address, if I may. But it'll be here
mm-hmm.
in Philly. It will be on the 14th and the 15th. As a matter of fact, Brother Alton Maddox, who is a
mm-hmm.
warrior lawyer, he will be coming
mm-hmm.
along with him, Wally Mubarudi and Brother Kamal Tavon, because
mm-hmm.
this is what my brothers need to know about some of their sisters, some of us.
Mm-hmm.
It's this. We love our brothers. We love our brothers so much that we're going to step aside and we're going to let the brothers deal with one another on this issue of violence and abuse of our women and girls. That's number one. See, this is something that men, there's an aspect of this. Now, that doesn't mean the sisters are not going to do their part or what we're supposed to do. But men have to speak to one another in the tone and in the manner and in the posture that men can speak to one another in. And do so knowing that each one has a mother, will probably have a daughter and a wife or wife, birth daughter, and so forth. So in that spirit, in the protection of that, and, of course, the mother of civilization. So the brothers have to come up with first understanding the causes, and that being really what has happened to us as a people. That's our primary premise first. Now, that doesn't mean we don't know the responsibility of what people are doing, but we have to first understand the problem. So, again, I'm not going to elaborate on that at this time, but I just wanted to put it out there to you so that you know that what you're saying is also what we're talking about and are doing. Now, lastly, and then we're going to open up for you, caller. We're going to come to you at 7347 in a minute. But the next thing I want to say to you, brother, is this. As I took the title and was given the title as Empress, and in as such have now brought about a brother cadre, okay, because in understanding the format and the order of things, a queen or an empress has to also have components, and that has to be warriors and soldiers. So essentially, my message to you, brother, is this. We have queens amongst us who have various, you know, types of things that they are to do. Some will be providing natural birth classes. Some will be providing healthier meals, et cetera, et cetera. But some of us finance armies. Okay, and I'm going to leave it at that. Okay, I'm going to go to caller 73. Oh, no, before I do that, brother, your quick response, and then I'm going to go to the next caller, and you can still stay on, too.
Are you talking to me, Jamal?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, well, put it, bottom line is this. I'm with exactly what you're talking about, and I'm there, and that's my word. I'm there, and I'm going to bring more with me. I'm going to bring whoever want to come.
All right, my brother. Give thanks. All right. Caller at 7347, did you have a comment or a view or something that you wanted to share? Oops, hold on. We're getting to you in a minute. Got a little stalling action going on here, so hopefully it'll clear up in a moment. We're trying to patch you in. Let's try again. Okay, Brother Jamal, you go ahead and say something else while I try to patch in this other caller. Okay, we got you. Never mind. We got you. 7347. Do you hear me?
All right.
You want me to say something else?
No, I got this other caller in now. But no, you stay right there, my brother. Caller at 7347. We got you now.
All right. You can hear me now, right?
Yeah, we can hear you now. All right, brother.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, I've had the pleasure of listening to the majority of your callers, and I would make my comment like this. One, we must truly get back to our way of life. That's the answer to the old spirituality, the way of life. It means we have to expand our mind beyond the borders in which they are entrapped right now. Solutions to our challenges, we must begin to teach our own. It means a revolutionary dropping of these Eurocentric schools that teach us everything but who we are. We must get out of the miseducation that is being dealt every day. 1,896 inventions since slavery. And that's just on this side of the calendar. Okay? That's just on this side of the calendar. It doesn't even talk about your contributions to civilization. It doesn't talk about your contributions of making the written language. It doesn't talk about the cities built before the European comes up out of the cave. It doesn't talk about fire, sailing. See, we did all these things. And now that the script has been turned upside down and backwards, because we are the children of the stolen children. See, when we talk about what we need to do, we never remember who we are. But yet our genetic memory stays in place. That's why the fight continues. But they're able to sprinkle on your fire. They're able to tinkle on your fire because they're able to keep pulling the wool over your eyes because of the very people that you talk about, those who continue to want to assimilate, those who want to use that term, love your enemy. Okay, I heard the other callers talking about love your enemy. What a moronic state that must be. Well, to talk about emotion and the people who oppose you, well, that just becomes another trap. We have to leave the emotion out of the game so that we can do what's necessary. When the young brother said we have to change the image in the mind, see, the white image, the white deity has to be completely removed, because these, you, being the people who have that white image in your head, can only go so far. When it comes to complete eradication of them, you can't even imagine it. But they can imagine it for you. And they attend it. They attend to it every day. This is why they have the AIDS virus, okay? But now, the AIDS was curable in Africa more than 10 years ago. But as I look at my computer news, I see where they say some novice scientist, meaning some white person, has cracked the AIDS virus, meaning they're looking at molecules that cause AIDS on their computer game, okay? Any time that they can give a credit to themselves and take it away from you, that's exactly what they do. So,
hey brother, this is what, and I hear that, and of course, what you're saying is are things that more than likely the folks that are listening are kind of familiar with. So, with that said, what we're really trying to now deal with and do at this particular point in time is what is now the application, meaning we know that they're doing this, they do that, we know that, we got that, but what we're not getting is we know that they're not going to teach us, we know that they have said this and that about us, we know this, so now it has to be more about what is our plan, and of course we can't go into that in-depthly at this particular time, but nevertheless, what things and when are we going to begin? Because see, like what I said earlier, I gave a date and a place to do A, B, and C, okay? Because at this stage of the game, what we must begin to do based on the fact that we know what they're doing, how they're doing it, We got it by now. So now, what we have to do is, the brother said, Brother Jamal said, start an organization so that when people cannot get what they need to get, which 9 times out of 10 they ain't going to, here's what we have to bring to the table to begin to service our people and address this issue. Now, that's where we want to now get to. We want to get to what operations, since you just said, my brother, one is they're not going to teach us about our history. Well, yeah, kind of we got. So now, when are we going to start our online homeschool? Or what, you see what I'm saying? See, at this stage of the game, it's got to be, here's a possible plan or proposal that we can begin to work on and set up a timetable for it. And that's where we have got to now be at with some of this. So with that said, my brother, what would you suggest? Given the fact that we know they are not going to do anything right by us. We know that. What are we going to do?
Now, are you ready for the answer?
Absolutely.
I will begin again. See, it takes 2 seconds to restate the issue for all those who haven't heard. You have to remember, most of the people who are doing this talking now are 30 and above. Most of the people we need to be talking to are 20 and below. Let me be quick so I can be brief, but hopefully complete. See, we need to begin to teach all technology right around our own communities, meaning those who we're in closest contact with. Internet school is fine, but they own the airways at this time until we reclaim it. We need to work in close order. All the groups who are out there, all Africans who are out there, need to come together under one collective. That is the key and solution to our challenge, period. The total cutoff.
Okay. So when are you planning to do this?
You have to do it right now, just as I do it right now. I talk to many of you right now. But you're not going to see the results of it right now because this didn't happen overnight and it's not going to end overnight. Although the statement is, within 24 hours, is done. The brother from Chicago who has his 5-year-old child who can name every continent, every capital, that is his grand start. The M. Hotel Charter School, who has 100% graduation, but the children keep going to the Ivy League schools because the Ivy League schools choose them. Perhaps they have enough inspiration to go in and take what they need, come back out of there and serve the community. Those are the starts. You have to plan.
Okay.
Let me finish this 2 seconds here. As the adversary plans for the next 200 years, so do we. Period.
And I definitely agree, my brother, except for 2 things. One, the example that you gave with the brother that taught his child, and at 5, they're doing all those wonderful things. Again, it's independent. The Imhotep Charter School, though, they're doing wonderful things, no doubt. Not independent, which means the number of children more than likely that come from that school, go to college, coming back into the community, is probably not that great.
It's slim
to
none.
Now, the reality.
If you heard what I said, I said that they do a good job, but they're not insulated against going to the Eurocentric schools that they're going to.
Right.
The chances of coming back to the neighborhood is little to none.
Right,
that's
which brings
statement.
Me back to the point of doing what are we going to do? And what, again, I'm saying is, while we all talk to, or many of us talk to the youth or whomever, because for me, I don't subscribe to ageism in any way, shape, fashion, or form. So as we do these things normally anyway, talk to people, build with people, with our people, et cetera, et cetera. What I'm getting to and focusing on specifically is the other things that are organized that will allow us to literally look at what we're doing with a goal and objective. because there's certain things that we do on a day-to-day basis anyway. So that's forgiven. That's forgiven. But when it comes to the development of concrete things, whereby we can say, okay, here's January. By September, we need to have at least attempted to accomplish A, B, and C. These are the things that seem to be missing from the equation. So while some things are a natural flow and doesn't really require, you know, a lot of structure or whatever, because that's what we do anyway, especially in terms of being conscious or striving to do the things that need to be done in our communities and in our families. But where is the organizational component? Because we don't have institutions that are viable. They certainly, the majority of them, aren't independent. So where's the building for these things? Somebody jump in. We got like four lines open right now. So some Manera, you still on? Sister Jamal, you're still on. Brother Evan, you're still on. And Brother Radisson, you're still on.
Okay, well, can I say something real quick?
Sure. Who are you? Who is this first?
This is Brother Jamal.
Okay, go ahead, Brother Jamal.
Well, I believe that what you do, you start and you use their own weapons against them. First of all, we know the Constitution did not represent us. So,
right. First
of all, you know, the First Amendment states that you have the freedom of speech. Okay.
Right.
So that's what we're doing right now. Okay.
Right.
Now, the Second Amendment states, being brief, is that you can build your own military as long as that military is disciplined. Now, dealing with discipline starts with this, like what you're building on forest teaching. We have to show and prove that, first of all, that there is unification between a strong few at first. Then the ones who are a little fearful of change will start seeing a click. Like, okay, there's some people sticking together. Now, these people that are sticking together is bringing the truth. What my mother has always told me, the truth stands alone and a lie has no foundation. That's why it has been shown and proved that slavery is humane. It is inhumane. Now, we know the mindset right now in America is a lot of us who have lack of knowledge of self are still in bondage. Willie Lynch syndrome. Okay. Now, the point being is this. The ones who do not want to move that we have to preach to that are unteachable, we have to just avoid them and just let them know, bottom line, all you want to do, you matter of fact, what you are just an eruption. What you might, as a matter of fact, be a person, an infiltrator. Now to the point where the brother Malcolm X said, the price of freedom is death. Now, my thing in saying this is, now, my saying that is not trying to preach violence, but the sister, one of the greatest generals of all time, stated to one of her runaway slaves with her when she came through the Underground Railroad, which is Sister Harriet Tubman, she pointed her gun to her brother and stated, "If you either you come or you die." Now, like I said, we don't have to point a gun, but at this point right now, what we do, we turn our back on the ignorant who appreciate being ignorant. Now, like how we're sitting here building right now, we can tell the difference between the ones who want to sit and teach and listen. Because some people just want to teach and don't even learn. And it's impossible to, at any moment, all of us have to be able to be flexible to be able to listen and learn. Once it comes to the point where there's no flexibility, where you can't just say, okay, maybe it's my time to just listen and build on. But no, we have been accepted that, matter of fact, and I'm going to just be brief and ending from here. When I was locked up for the 2 years fighting this case in the county jail, a Mexican says to me, He said, T, he said, let me ask you something. He said, why should other races respect blacks? I said, well, you know what? You tell me since you asked me that question. He said, well, I don't think that other races should respect blacks. I said, well, why? He said, well, first of all, blacks blatantly don't respect each other. He said, I'm going to give you an example. He said, when them doors come open for some more inmates to come in, he said it's going to be some Puerto Ricans come in or some Mexicans come in, and there's going to be some blacks to come in. You watch the difference between the way we speak to our people and the way you speak to your people or treat your people. Okay. Mm-hmm. An hour later, the example was proven. There's written and people looking funny at, oh, because old boy might have been from North, or old boy might have been from Camden, but they're in Burlington County. But as soon as a Mexican or Spanish brother came in, they speaking in Spanish trying to find out what do you need and where are you from, and come on up to myself. Now, the mindset is this, point blank. The ones who want to stick together, they the ones have to be together all the way to the death. Because at this point, like I heard the brother Malcolm X say, I'm living like a dead man every day. Because at this point, to be a teacher and to be a person who is flexible, to be willing to learn and to be willing to die for what this movement should be about, you have to know that you can be either been sent to jail or be murdered, or if they don't murder me personally or whoever, they will try to attack or upset an infiltrator in between the cipher. So I said that to say this, brothers and sisters, at this time right now, what we have to do is we have to take what we stand right now and meditate on it and just see how we can make an action move on it. Because my mother always said, and I'm going to leave it here, my mother said that love is an action word. You don't always have to tell somebody you love them. You just show them that you love them. And I'm going to leave that right there for real.
Okay. Good thing. And I think to really summarize it, what you've said, or part of what you said, is that lines are being drawn in the sand. And it should be, certainly, with the execution of Troy Davis. Some of us knew it before then, but again, this just kind of highlighted the reality of it. Now, before you go, brother, the thing I want to just get a little bit of clarity on, and that is something that you said about in dealing with the so-called Constitution. Of course, I'm very familiar with one of the things saying freedom of speech. The other thing you said, though, was it indicates that we have the right to obtain or develop our own military. Now, I've always seen it says having the right to bear arms as an individual. So give me clarity on how that is applicable to that being, in terms of a military.
Well, no. Like how the Panthers did it. The Panthers built an organization that was disciplined and prepared at any time if they was violated. Now, at this point, we all know, that's why we're here now, that we know that we're blatantly being violated. But the problem is, we have certain ones that have accepted being violated. Now, the ones who have not accepted it, we might even, everybody has to play their lane. You have some people that might have to sit in the kitchen and cook for the soldiers. You have some people who might have to write letters for the soldiers. You might, whatever position this person has to handle, I don't care if they cripple, blind, deaf, whatever position it has to play, if we have to have our own codes or whatever.
I was being very specific about that one part in terms of development. But you answered that. I got what you mean on that. But we already said that each person will have to, have their role defined, or shall we say, in becoming aware of what your role is, and then fine tuning that and so forth. So we're gonna go more into that on another time as well, because this is an ongoing building process, and we're going to get this stuff done, interestingly enough, in a much quicker time than I think most would imagine. But with that said, I have to say this. Well, what you've said, my brother, for those who have studied or have had some familiarity with what used to be known as the Black Liberation Army, a lot of what you said was, in fact, the principles of the concept and the actual actions of the Black Liberation Army. It was a family.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it was just like a family. And
mm-hmm.
folks agreed to function in a certain kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
And they did. You see?
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that we don't know a lot about today, because unfortunately, you know, with COINTELPRO going into effect, several of
mm-hmm.
them were killed. Several of them were killed, and then several of them are still incarcerated, including Dr. Motula Shakur, Sundi Abakoli. They were all members of the Black Liberation Army. They've never denied it. Okay? What
mm-hmm.
they did deny, of course, was their involvement in the Brinks robbery.
Mm.
All right, which is what they were
mm-hmm.
technically, with the exception of Sunyata Kohli, but Dr. Motula Shakur, which of course is the godfather of Tupac Shakur.
Mm.
He, of course, is still incarcerated after roughly, let's see, 20 years for them saying he masterminded the Brinks robbery. So I'm putting this information out to folk who may not be familiar with the Black Liberation Army and some of the things that they actually did do, were involved in, and whether the Brinks robbery was one of them. We know for certain that the break-in into that prison to bring our sister Asada out did in fact happen. And it was the Black Liberation Army that did that. They went inside of a prison, woke her out, and got her free, and she's been in Cuba ever since. That was the Black Liberation Army. Okay, so what you are saying, my brother, is in fact exactly what we're talking about. As a matter of fact, and I hope to have this information by October the 25th, but we are requesting from Dr. Motula Shakur to have a correspondence course with him so that we can learn acupuncture, because he started the first Black Acupuncture Society.
Mm-hmm.
He teaches acupuncture in New York, and that's how he helped
mm-hmm.
his brothers and sisters off of heroin.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the action, as Brother Evan said earlier, to be an activist is not just an act. It is action. It is to act, but it is about action and acting accordingly. Because we started off rather earlier raising the question about activism, because nowadays people are taking on these titles and these phrases, and they ain't living up to it. And we've got
mm-hmm.
to now hold these people accountable. We've got to now ask people, you say you're an activist? Okay. So now, what does that mean? What do you do? What do you think you're supposed to be doing? Because when it came to this case of Troy Davis, as I've talked with so-called activists or people who are, you know, about liberation, they didn't know anything about him. And I'm like, well, what do you do? I mean, when it comes to our people, And I'm not saying I know everything or you know everything or that any of us do, but for those who say we are striving to be abreast of what's going on, we know about other things in the news. So why would we not know about a case? And don't get me wrong, I know that the mass media didn't put it out there, but I know as an activist, I talk to other activists. I make it my business to talk to other activists. I make it my business to go online and just kind of push stuff in or see what's happening. I make it my business to go to different little conferences or whatever so that I can kind of, you know, find out what's going on somewhere else. And I got to do that because I'm an activist. So my responsibility is
to make sure to the best of my ability that I know what's going on. That's a responsibility. So we got to now ask these people, our people, we got to ask them, you're what? Okay, so now what do you do? And when do you do it? We got to ask them these questions. But as you said, brother, and I totally agree, and I agree with most what everybody said tonight, because we're all on the same page. We may just have some different routes or ways that we're going about it, but technically we're all saying the same thing. I think, though, the point that I wanted to make, and I think I did, and if I didn't, I will, and it's this. Time is at hand, and it means that we've got to now know that time is running out.
I know that's right.
Not that, yes, right. Time is running for certain things. Time is running out. Now, for Brother Ramasuth, I wasn't suggesting that we have a internet school per se. My point really was this, that just, and in a way it is, when I talked to Brother Shango, he and I talked about what's going on in the public school and this and that and what's going on with the charter school. Well, to me, if I'm going to talk about something that I don't like, I'm also prepared to do something about it. So the most immediate thing was for those sisters and brothers that have children that do not want their children in public school, do not want their children in a charter school, which is a semi-public school, then what can we do? What are the possibilities? And the thing that we came up with was to offer a Black Homeschoolers Association online. So that we could teach our own children. That was a possible alternative. And then even cover it from a legal end, because in certain states, they're trying to make it difficult for you to even do homeschooling. So we can get each other's backs on that kind of stuff. We have enough information and educators amongst us to create anything we want. So this was just a possibility in the interim of establishing whatever it was that needs to be established for the future. So these are things that we're talking about that can happen almost immediately, and we put a timetable on it and said January. See? So we know if we put that information out there to our people, they will start funneling back information back to us, meaning lesson plans, curriculum, book, listing of books, this and that. We already knew that. If we put out to the masses of our people, we want to start with a homeschool, Black homeschooling session, association starting in January, and this is what we need. I guarantee within a month we'd have everything we need to start that with. These are the kinds of things we've got to now go ahead and do until we're able to get the physical, building and this and that and so forth. There's some things that we can do almost immediately. And this is what we're talking about. Now, to go back for one moment, and again, I'm suggesting this to all of you, for those who feel inclined to do so, because I'm certainly going to do it, and it's this. I'm going to start writing or calling some of the traditional houses, for lack of a better word, and ask them, what can we begin to do on the spiritual level to provide greater protection for our people, for ourselves, for our people? From a traditional standpoint, so that for me is at least one way to begin to approach some of what I'm feeling from Troy Davis being executed last night, meaning Clarence Thomas, I can't do anything to Clarence Thomas physically. I know that. I'm not going to try to put myself at risk or my family at risk like that. However, Can something else be done? I'm not afraid to say that. I'm not afraid to even see who else can do that. That's how I feel about this. What happened to Troy Davis last night, I'm not going to rest with that. I'm not accepting it. So I can't do anything, you know, outrightly, but I can sure do something else, or at least try to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's just my position. That's how I feel about it, and I'm woman enough to say it. So, with that said, if someone else has another suggestion or idea or whatever, because, again, I'm not going to keep just accepting these people or these whatever we're going to call them, hurting our people, inflicting injustices on our people. I'm just not going to sit by and just keep going, oh, wow, that's just so terrible. That's just such a shame. It's such an injustice. I'm not doing that like that.
Sister,
yes.
This is Jamal. Can I say something?
Absolutely.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I say this. Now, dealing with the legal aspect of this thing, and that's what this is. See, I done been to 8 trials. I done had 8 trials. I lost one.
Mm-hmm.
Listening to a lawyer, because my grandma convinced me I should listen for a change. Come to find out, he lied to me. But getting to the point is this: we have to also teach our people the legal process so we can be able to be armed with what they use. Because what they do is they use a legal tactic, whether it's sending the cops to witnesses, whether it's the prosecutor going to the judge, making sure that the judge denies certain motions. But the thing about it is this: everybody has a boss. Now, with everybody having a boss, it has to be some type of process of, okay, who made this mistake? Who dropped the ball? Now, how we attack this is, first of all, we need to find out exactly from his attorney, which probably sounds like, I didn't get the whole thing because I was watching it at a friend's house. Then I went to the barbershop, which they was watching ESPN, and I had to get them to turn it. Then one guy said, well, look, man, I don't want to go through all this political mess. I said, well, you know what? You turn it, and I'm going to keep it pushing. But my point of saying is this. We need to find out exactly who dropped the ball. Now, once we find out who dropped the ball, now he's gonna tell on the next person, say, well, I dropped the ball, but old boy was putting pressure on me about it. Okay, now we need to find out what about the judge, what's his views. Everybody has to say something because at the end of the day, if there was no physical evidence besides some lying witnesses that wound up recanting their statement, now what we need to find out, dealing with the legal justice system, that states that you are innocent until proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. Now, you have to know what a reasonable doubt means. A reasonable doubt is not, means that he might not be guilty. It has to be strong evidence that that man was guilty. Now, okay, we can say it was some racism in it. Okay, but we need actual facts. Who was the player in this? That's when once we find that, then they will know that we're not going to tolerate anymore who will violate anybody's human rights, whether it's a Puerto Rican, whether it's a Mexican. See, yes, it's a black thing right at this point. Okay,
right.
But at this point right now, once you segregate yourself into a realm of, okay, it's about, no. You have to understand the American thinking. Now it's a way how America stole America. Its bottom line is they cheat, and if you're a cheater, you're always going to be a cheater. Okay, but a cheater doesn't like to get caught, which my mom always said. A good cheater stays in position that he doesn't have to get caught. At this point, they have been caught. Now I hear Al Sharpton screaming on the radio about doing a movement down in Washington, D.C., which a lawyer friend, I have a lot of lawyer friends, and one of my lawyer friends said to me is this. He said, Jamal, you're a little too big for Burlington County at this point. But what you need to do, you need to get with some people like Al Sharpton and sit down and give them your legal vision of how certain things, when they violate, how it needs to be attacked. Okay, now, what my thing is saying this is, I think back to the coalition, what Al Sharpton, he does a lot of, I hear him doing a lot of preaching on how things should be moving. Okay, but at this point right now, we need to find out who dropped the ball and attack that and squeeze it until somebody say, well, I'm sorry, and like he said, that we get a law under Troy Davis's name that any violators under whoever drops the ball will be persecuted, and as a matter of fact, they will be executed. They might as get executed. And that might sound kind of strange or whatever, but that's how I feel about this situation.
And I can see that, and I think from a protracted standpoint, that would be a good thing to pursue. See, in dealing with warfare, which is what I do every day, I deal with it on a multifaceted kind of level. So while one, again, would be on a tangible and perhaps a protracted struggle, I also have to look at the immediate possibilities, because one thing, excuse me, takes a period of time, whereas something else may not. So I see what you're saying, and I certainly agree, only in that I know that to do certain things help to educate, edify, stimulate, motivate. But see, I understand the nature of the game from the very beginning, meaning that it's, number one, designed in the first place to keep your wheels rolling. That's really the design of that whole structure. So it's already designed in a certain way, key way. That's why when you look at those balancing scales, to understand what's really going on with that, most people will never comprehend that. So, but that's already set up a certain kind of way. So the bottom line is this, okay? See, first of all, I wouldn't touch Al Sharpton with a 10-foot pole. You couldn't pay me. To mess with Al Sharpton, number one. You couldn't give me enough money to interact with him on anything, and especially something like that. There is no way, under no circumstances. So that, number one, whoever lawyer told you that, I would immediately know that person right there, he don't understand what we're dealing with. Okay, that's number one.
You probably, I think what he was just giving me, he was giving me a strong example saying, because in this county where I'm from, I'm very much feared. When they see me in the county, they want to know who I'm defending. And what I mean defending, I defend a lot of people. I am the jailhouse lawyer. I've been sent people home on a lot of, I done helped people beat a lot of cases. And my thing
is saying, are you familiar with Altimeta?
Excuse me?
Are you familiar with Alton Maddox? Are you familiar with Alton Maddox?
No, I never heard of him, no.
Wow.
Oh, when you get a chance, please Google Alton Maddox, okay? That brother there is probably one of the, I mean, and I don't give kudos easily. He is par excellence, to say the least. He, in fact, when Sharpton was getting ready to get indicted,
with 64 mm-hmm. charges, he got shot in mm-hmm. off of every last one of them.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Austin is a bad dude. Believe me, when and he not only gave up his law practice for what he believed in. See, he is legally, he's so-called legally a lawyer. He's been disbarred for almost 20 years now because he would not waver his position.
That's what Boone was talking about. That's what Brother Boone was talking about. That's who he was talking about.
That's who's
going to
be with
okay.
us on this 14-15. But he's also,
okay.
we're trying to get him to agree to do some legal classes for us, the community, because we want to have our own community paralegals. But we need somebody to trust.
That's what I'm talking about.
Right.
I know that's
right. Brother. I know. I understand. Believe me. And
overstand.
That's what we're talking about. Okay.
Yeah,
but again, we, you know, I have to approach things in what I call holistically. Meaning,
mm-hmm.
just as you indicated earlier, some folk will be the carpenter, some will be the plumber, some will be the cook,
mm-hmm.
some will be... So we have to fight that struggle on all fronts and on all levels. And that's why I said again that I am suggesting and will also pursue the spiritual realm, because I'm going to always deal on the other realms also. But the thing that we
mm-hmm.
don't talk about... for whatever reason, is, see, Clarice Thomas, now don't get me wrong, you're right, we need to look at and address who dropped the ball. But who we know that said no, executes him, is Clarence Thomas.
The black guy.
The Supreme Court, that's right. That's right. Last night, when this thing went to the Supreme Court, Clarence Thomas. So we know.
Right.
You get it now? So even though we can backtrack it and should, because we need to know all that we can. But I'm saying right off the cuff of this, of last night, Clarence Thomas. And as far as I'm concerned, examples need to be made. Now, just like here in Philly, there was a judge named Sabo, but he was a white dude. Well, he hated Homer. He made it sure. He said, fry the nigga. That's what Sabo said. Well, guess what?
He bring stories on him.
2 years later, he's dead of a heart attack or some old stuff, and that's what I'm talking about.
We need to bring charges on Clarence Thomas.
We done put in two hours and our time is just about up. We got just one more minute. Well, we're going to go off of the internet broadcast, but we're going to stay on just for a few minutes longer on our telephone. But I want to thank all of you for tuning in. I'm sorry I could not get to the chat. For some reason, I couldn't get on to the chat thing to set you all up for tonight. But we will be back next Saturday, 10:30, our regular time. And if something else comes up, we'll do another special session. I want to thank all of you again for tuning in. We're going to lose our internet connection in a minute, but for those who are on the telephone hookup, you'll still be able to connect. Family, thank you all again. And, wow, this has been a stimulating and wonderful dialogue. Brother Evan, Brother Jamal, and Sister Manera, and Brother Rousseus, and everyone else. Thank all of you for pitching in and bringing some insight into this dialogue. And we're going to continue. We're going to definitely want to build. So I thank all of you again. And thank all of you. And as we leave for tonight, we always remind you, we say Ma'at Hotep, because there can be no peace without justice. Ma'at Hotep for all of you who are online. Okay, family, we are off the internet portion for right now, and we just want to take a few more minutes just to wrap up, and we will resume this dialogue on Saturday. I just wanted to read something briefly to you. An article came out today
in the Metro newspaper, Philly, because what I didn't mention to everyone is that here in Philly, we blocked the streets last night. As we were rallying and so forth, we was like, look, y'all got us on pins and needles, well, we're going to disrupt y'all's day a little bit too. So folks decided that they were going to get in the street. And as a result, blocked up all the traffic on Broadway, 15th Street and Market Street, at least for a while until the cops came, and then that kind of got sticky. But here's just a brief little overview of what the Metro wrote, and it says, protesters stop traffic at 15th and Market Street. This was by somebody named Alexander Opsasusi, and that's true. It says Opsasusi. Anyway. Okay, this came out today. It says, protesters opposing the execution of Georgia man Troy Davis, who is convicted of killing an off-duty police officer in 1989, hold on, I got screwed up in a minute, and was scheduled to be executed at 7 p.m. tonight, or obviously they wrote this last night, gathered at 15th Street and JFK Boulevard. Wielding signs and chanting, they began rallying around 5 p.m. By 7:30, they forced police to close 15th Street between JFK and Market Street to vehicles traffic for about 20 minutes. Okay? That's what happened here. We shut it down. Okay, and then it goes on to say, every time we get them under control, they move to another area, the officer said. Davis's execution was put on hold this evening, awaiting a decision of the U.S. Supreme Court, but that did not deter those who assembled. Okay, lastly, then it says, I had to come here because, hey, that could be my son, my brother, my uncle, or my father, said Marilyn Jewett. Bicycle officers lined up on the street in front of City Hall in an attempt to bar the protesters from blocking the intersection. Scroll down again. A great injustice is being perpetuated in Georgia, and we're here to say not in our name or on our watch. Okay, and then it says, lastly, if they can kill this innocent man, they can kill anybody. We're very aware that here, Mumia Abdul-Jamal's life is also on the line under similar circumstances. Protesters cited various motives. Some insisted Davis was innocent. Seven witnesses recanted. Cops coerced him, confessing, and there's no physical evidence, said Temple journalist student Chris Briggs. Some said that race was a major factor in the alleged injustice. It said a highly indicative of still racist society live here, said Eduardo Castillo of Labor Notes. They think they can just do this because he's black when there's clearly reasonable doubt. That was somebody else's statement. And then it just goes on. But my point is, if nothing else, and this is what we talked about earlier, family, when we talked about action. Okay, we're limited in what we can do, obviously. But as Brother Evan and Sister and we all talk about this idea of fear, okay, the cops came. They even brought a fire truck earlier at the rally. When we heard these sirens coming down the street, we thought there was a fire somewhere. Not even thinking that they was coming about us. They came down the street with the fire engine rolling, and then parked right on the corner where we were. And then behind them came the EMS people, like the ambulance folks. They came right behind them and parked right on the corner where we were. To intimidate us.
Sister, can I say something? This is Jamal.
Sure, brother. Go ahead.
You know, justice is one reward and one's punishment. The brother Malcolm X says that the man who ruled in the beginning will rule in the end. Well, sometimes when you have to take a sacrificial lamb, which I see Troy Davis, because honestly, as much as I'm into politics and the legal, I knew nothing about this situation. And maybe, and then it's just kind of embarrassing because, like how you were saying, when you profess to do something, you should be on top of everything. I mean, it's to the best of your ability. Now, my thing in saying is this, is that for the way y'all rallied in Philadelphia, in the town that I'm from, in Burlington City, it was quiet as a church mouse. Nobody knew. I told maybe 10 people, and nobody knew what happened. I come from a very racist town that's even connected with Philly. Like, Philly is racist. Like, Burlington is racist. And Burlington had a lot of status at one point. Well, my point in saying is this. At this point right now, once we get this, because you're already basically established. Me, I'm really just getting home in November of fighting cases for 2 years and winning. But my thing in saying this is, whatever for a legal process that y'all need to bring to the table, I will rally or march or get bit by dogs or get sprayed by whatever, if that's what the job consists of. But at this point, what I'm seeing is people need litigators, proper litigators, and proper paralegals that is going to put in the right paperwork that's going to say, look, you violated, and you violated very much so, now to the point where it ain't about money, but his family needs to be compensated to the fullest degree, and some people need to be fired. Now that's going to put out the example that we're not going to tolerate, because the first thing they figure, all right, well, blacks, you know what I mean, that's the normal reaction. Soon as something happens, that's when they jump out and start fighting. Now, what we do now is we need to really properly sit down and say, okay, look, this is what we need to do. And if we need a rally, we rally. But the paperwork needs to be in, because once the paperwork is in, somebody has to answer that dealing with the Constitution. We
right.
have just as much right. We have just as much right as anybody else. Even though, if you ever heard the case of Dred Scott, which just stated, okay, which he stated that blacks. The Constitution, I can go on, but basically the Constitution was not meant for us. Okay,
right.
But I please you like this. Even though you feel as though it's not meant for us, even though that flag, it doesn't stand for us, but I'm going to tell you
right.
what. On the record, you have to say to us, to our face, that this Constitution does not stand for you, but if you don't, what you're going to do is you're going to stand on your own word and pay the piper for violating that man's rights, point blank. And if you don't, there will be consequences, and we don't have to say it out our mouth. Because if anybody here on this radio, on the phone right now plays chess, do never let your opponent know exactly how you're coming to attack him. You do him the same way he does you. He makes a move and makes you think he's going that way, but he has another objective. So I said that to say is that whatever needs to be done, we need to do it.
And, brother, I definitely agree with that. The only thing that I could really add to that is that, remember, and as we look at dealing with these issues, it has to be at least 2 to 3-fold. And again, while one remedy, now note the words that I'm using, because I understand very clearly what you're saying, but as a warrior, I also know, and as a general, I also know that just as you have the infantry, you have your Marines or your Army, each segment has a particular application, just as in law.
Mm-hmm.
One remedy might not really fit that particular circumstance. Now, for example, I'm getting ready to introduce, in this issue of reparations, I'm getting ready to introduce a segment
from the angle that I want to deal with it from, and it's called retribution law.
Mm.
As opposed to restitution law.
Mm.
You see? It's a totally different arena that no one that I know of yet has introduced.
Mm.
So by bringing retributive law in, that then brings about punishment. Whereas restitution, you see, so I understand exactly what you're saying. But I'm just saying, and we're all saying, we have to deal with these there are several different angles that have to be looked at and applied. There can't be any one thing, because then the enemy kind of knows, you know, exactly where you're coming from. We have to attack them from different angles of that pyramid, you see. So, truly, I agree. But we now have to really deal with as much as this 365 as we can. Support one another in the areas that we're going to be operating from. And those that are astute in a particular area, we support that. We support him or her. Those that are functioning and astute in that area, we're going to support them.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we got to move.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree. I definitely agree.
Yeah, because they think mainly that our only movement is coming at savages. When the verdict came with King when he got whooped down there in California. See, how you whoop them is with that pen. You whoop them with that pen, and to the point where that they can't get rest. You said this in your own laws. You can't sit here and state, but if you're going to state it, just tell me to my face and say, look, bottom line is, I'm not going to honor something to some or a certain race that this particular constitution don't apply to. See, because at the end of the day, like the 40 acres and a mule. Okay, yeah, you violated that and then give us that. Okay, now you gave the Jews their retribution or whatever. But my point of saying this is this. We have became so content with being kicked up the rear and just told, listen, we're just going to do this, and it doesn't matter, or whatever. And then the first thing they think, okay, once you get a lynching, or you get somebody shot in the head, violated, or whatever, then we want to rally. We have to stop just waiting until we get violated to make a move. We have to put it to the point where if you violate us, you know the consequences, you know what will happen. Like, for example, for these rapists, and I hate to go here, but for these rapists that's raping these women and these children, they need to be, what is it when their private is cut off?
Castrated.
Exactly. It needs to be a rule, a regulation.
Right.
So they wait, because what you do is you wait for him. I mean, you put him in jail. I know a cat that did some crazy mess, and they put him in jail. They gave him 8 years. They gave it, so that means you gave him 8 years to put him back on the streets and put a law just stating that a mega law on his back. You know that this guy is in your town. First of all, you got the mega law on his back, and know that he'll never do it again. Know that he will never do it again. You know why? Because he has nothing to do it with.
Okay, and you see, again, I'm going to refer this back to what I was saying to Brother Ramasus, and I'm going to bring it back to this point as well, and it's this.
Mm.
And again, I agree. However, that's a protracted struggle, meaning in order to make that happen, it's a process, and it's a process that we need to be doing, obviously, but that can't happen tomorrow or next week.
No.
So my point is this. As we say, I've learned to always appreciate to the best of my ability those things that are being done. And what that means is this. While one segment of us is working on one strategy, the other folks that are doing whatever it is that they can do need to be doing that. Somebody's making some noises in my ear. Okay, I got it now. So I'm just saying, if all a person can do is to rally, or if that's all they want to do, then as far as I'm concerned, I'm supporting that.
Okay.
Because here's why. I've had to force myself to read books now. Because I really don't have the patience for it anymore. Not that I can't. I'm sick of it. I mean, really, why not have to do this? But I'm really, to be honest with you, I don't read about as many books as I really want to read. To be honest with you. Because at some point, it's like, how many kinds of books you want to read? How many videos you want to watch? I don't want to do that anymore. I've done that. But I know that I need to, because there's other things, there's services that I've got to render and do. But for real, I don't want to do that. So I'm just saying, some of our people have specific roles, and they're supposed to be doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing, and I'm going to support those things when it comes to, I feel that's a part of the plan, our plan, the big plan, our ancestors' plan, you see. So as we proceed in doing these other kinds of things on another level, as I do, because I go to the UN, I engage in international arenas. So I'm very clear about some of this stuff. But at the same time, I also walk these streets, and I involve myself with what's going on in these streets. See? We have to be diverse in that we have to be well-rounded. And this is a problem. It's just like when I went to the rally last night, I didn't see my people. I didn't see people. I didn't see certain groups of people. They ain't coming out. They ain't going to participate. Why? You too good for that? You can't. You don't have time for that? Why?
Was NAACP there? Was the NAACP there?
Not here in Philly? No.
I know they wasn't. They never show up.
No. I know. And that's
they
what I'm
saying.
They never
show up.
No.
We expose them. They cowards.
None of the politicians. Mm-hmm. I didn't see no union leader. None of them. No.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying, people get on your station, or get to where they supposed, where they think they are, and then when it comes to other areas of things, I can't do that. I don't want to do that. I mean, that's when you're in a war. You referred to Brother Malcolm earlier. I remember something Brother Malcolm said too, and I remember when he talked about the little Chinese girl. You know what the little Chinese girl ended up doing?
What happened?
She offed her grandmother or grandfather. Yeah. Because when it came to the actual time of revolution, anybody that was a town, they had to go. So my point is, no matter how much you rank in, you still have responsibilities to deal with. All right, Tammy, I'm going to leave
it
all tonight with that in mind.
Yeah.
But we will resume this dialogue, and again, I thank all of you for staying and tuning in. Brother Evan, you still there tonight?
Mm-hmm.
I think we might have lost Brother Evan, but it's all good. So, Brother Jamal, I look forward to meeting you. And I know Brother Bourne is on. I think I see his number here, and I think I'm not sure who this other number is. But anyway, you know, I thank all of you for tuning in and hanging in here tonight. And I certainly feel a little better because I've been down all day. I mean, I've been just feeling, you know, really just, you know, just not real good
feeling
today.
Feeling kind of vulnerable a little bit.
No, not vulnerable. It's like it was sad. It was like a semi-mourn, you know, a mourning kind of thing. But because, you know, I couldn't kind of go there. But at the same time, I was still feeling something. It wasn't vulnerable, but it was sad. It was a sadness.
I was very angry.
Yeah, that too. I was angry.
I was very angry.
I mean, it was so many different mixed kind of, you know. So this dialogue has certainly helped me to, you know.
When I went up in that barbershop, I go in the barbershop, they watch the ESPN. None of them even knew what I was talking about. And when the Muslim brother said, well, look, man, turn it to what he's talking about. And then they seen it or whatever. Then one brother, he was like, look, man, I don't want to get all in that pop. I said, you know what, let me get on out of here, man, because you don't even got a clue, unless it was your brother or your mom or something. That's the only way you care.
That's right.
Crazy.
And that's right. That's how it goes. But, brother, we're going to talk soon. I look forward to meeting you next month, but we're going to definitely talk before then. And when you get a chance, please Google Austin Maddox. I think you'll be very, very impressed, or not impressed. You'll like what you see.
Well, that's the boom who's talking about. I know now what it's a done deal. And definitely,
right,
me and Boom are going to talk tomorrow because I got to go to an office tomorrow.
Okay, very good. All right, my brother. We'll be in touch soon. Good, thanks.
Yes, thank you.
All right, peace to everyone.
Oh, yeah, peace.
All right.
Good night.